I wonder if we could have four volunteers to come and read those verses, or read one.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Amen.
I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. Amen.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Amen.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so this is Jesus talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And of course, they're very anxious about all that's happening. And so he's reminding them or saying to them that I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you someone, and is described in different ways here. The Greek word, if you're interested, is paraclete. Sounds a bit like parakeet, doesn't it? But it's not a bird. Paraclete. And it must be very difficult to, translate that word, because it's translated in different ways. So here we have advocate, helper, friend, comforter. I think another one is encourager. So it's used in different ways. And then we can have the next slide, James. It was also used in different contexts. So for example, if you were about to go to war, say you were a young man, possibly even a young woman, and you were in the army, and you're ready to go to war, you'd be feeling pretty terrified, wouldn't you? You might be thinking, will I even come back? Will I see my family and friends again? And these young soldiers, they'd be terrified. And what they would often do is that they would draft in an old general, perhaps, who's fought in many other battles. And he would come in and give a bit of a pep talk. You know, we're an amazing army, you know, and we've never lost, and you'll be fine, you know, and give really encouraging words. And that was the same word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. So that when we're frightened, when we're not sure, the Holy Spirit would whisper into our hearts words of encouragement, words that would take away our fear. Yeah? Then the next way it would be used is if you've lost a loved one. Now, most of us have lost a loved one, you know, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, perhaps, a friend, and how painful that can be. And sometimes, I guess, you just wonder, you know, how will I go on in life? How am I going to cope? And again, in that situation, somebody would come along and just be there for you. Maybe put an arm around your shoulder. Maybe just be there to listen as you pour out how you're feeling. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like that as well. When you feel like nobody understands what you're going through, how you're feeling, what the future will be, the Holy Spirit will come and minister and just quietly speak into your heart what you need to hear. And then the third way it was used was in a courtroom. And this is the advocate. So if you can imagine a situation where somebody's been brought to court and they've been brought unjustly, okay? And then there's somebody in the big courtroom saying, what a terrible person this young man is. You know, he's done this, he's done that. he deserves to be punished, and I recommend he is punished. But then you get the advocate of this young man. He would step into the court, and he would say, well, wait a minute. Let me just tell you a few things about this young man that you've not mentioned. How helpful he's been in this situation, how kind he is, how, and just paint a completely different picture. Because you can imagine how this young man or woman or whoever it is in that situation, how they would feel when they're just being bashed and put down. They'd feel tiny, wouldn't they? They just want to kind of crawl out of that place. But then advocate comes in, and as I say, they just tell a completely different story, and you can almost see this young person, oh, wow, thank you. And that is God's Holy Spirit. You know, we face so many challenges in life, don't we? And sometimes we might even think like the disciples, oh, if only Jesus was here, you know. Well, he is here. But he's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And God, as he said, will never abandon us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And as he promised the disciples, that is his promise for us as well. Okay, we're going to have our Bible reading for this morning, and Rupert's going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they, that's all the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Not just one or two, but each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Yeah. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, and there's more. Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, tell me, what does this mean?
Thank you, Rupert. It's amazing what you can do with a bit of Lego, isn't it, really? But a wonderful retelling of the story of Pentecost, which we are celebrating today. You remember, Jesus kept his promise to his disciples that he would send a special gift to everyone who believes. You know, what happened that day was really awesome, truly awesome. So to help me tell you a little bit about it, I do need some chocolate biscuits and some chocolate. Okay. So Jesus has told his disciples, he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until this special friend comes, this comforter, this encourager, this advocate. And what an amazing promise that was. And so they waited, and they waited, and they waited. Does anyone know how long they waited for? How many days? 10. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, teaching about the kingdom of God, and their Pentecost is on the 50th day. So 10 days, they've been waiting. I don't know what you're like at waiting. If I have to wait one day, that seems a long time. But to wait 10 days, and not knowing, will it be today? Will it be tomorrow? How long do we have to wait? And of course, there were lots and lots of people in Jerusalem at this time. This was a special feast called Pentecost, where all of God's people scattered around the world would come and bring some of their first fruits of the harvest. So maybe some vegetables or whatever it is they brought, and offered it to God as a thank you. And also praying that the harvest would continue. So they're waiting and waiting and waiting, and then suddenly, without any warning, there's this mighty wind sweeps through the room. Or at least it's like a wind. Nobody's getting blown over, you know, they're not having to hang on to anything. It's like a wind. The sound of a rushing mighty wind. Now, when you think about a wind, what do you think about a wind? How can I put it? What comes to mind when you think about wind? Let's stick with that. Any suggestions? Storm, so it's powerful. Yeah, wind is powerful. It moves things, doesn't it? So trees sway in the wind. It moves things. Powerful. Anything else? You can't see it. It's invisible. So it is powerful. It's invisible. I've got one more, but maybe you've got others. Alice, I thought you had a big loud voice. Air. It's air, yeah, it's air. It's a bit like you can't see it, isn't it? Anything else? Speak up. Yeah, it comes as a surprise. That really was my last one. That it's uncontrollable. We cannot control the wind, can we? We can't redirect the wind or stop the wind or anything like that. So it is invisible, it is powerful, and it is beyond our control. And then we have these flames, these tongues of fire. Anybody think what that might be about? Why is God coming to them, this friend, to be with him forever? Why is he coming with flames of fire? Rupert.
To refine.
To refine, yeah. To refine is quite a difficult word, isn't it? To burn things up that are not. Purify, yeah, I know, to kind of get rid, to burn up stuff that is kind of rubbish in their lives, I guess, and in our lives as well. So the Holy Spirit wants to refine us, to purify us, make us clean. And very often the Holy Spirit does that by just maybe through our conscience. You know, if you do something wrong, there's a little nudge inside of us, isn't there? To tell us that we shouldn't have done that or said that, and we can say sorry to God. So this is how the Holy Spirit is being introduced to these disciples who have waited 10 days by a mighty rushing wind and by flames. Because Jesus knew that life was going to be difficult for the disciples. They were going to face many challenges. And, you know, the disciples were an amazing bunch. They were brilliant, really. They listened to all that Jesus taught them. I think Jesus would have thought the world of them, spending all that time with them. But Jesus knew they needed help, like we all need help. And so he sends the Holy Spirit. Now, what has my biscuits got to do with any of this? Probably not much, but anyway. I think the disciples were a bit like this biscuit. On the outside, it's got this lovely, thick chocolate. But on the inside, oh, it's all crumbly. You see? On the outside, it looks really good, solid. But on the inside, it's rather crumbly. And I think the disciples were a bit like that. You know, on the outside, they might have, you know, they were praying as well while they were waiting. Should I mention that? So on the outside, very strong, very, very good, very healthy followers of Jesus. But inside, maybe not quite so strong. A bit crumbly, a bit fearful, a bit uncertain. So I think they were a bit like this biscuit. Whereas Jesus wants us to be solid all the way through. Oh dear. And it is melting like crazy. You know, it is solid chocolate all the way. And that's what Jesus wants us to be like. Okay? Solid all the way through. The same on the inside as we are on the outside. That's what he wants us to be like. And the Holy Spirit helps us to become more like this and less crumbly on the inside. He does that by giving us courage. He comes to us and we have the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? So that on the inside, we're just as strong as we are on the outside. Who can remember the fruit of the Spirit? Let's see how we get. It's 9, I think, isn't it? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. And so, wow, I am impressed. We got them, and I think we got them in the right order as well. And that is what the Holy Spirit does, isn't it? He comes to give us strength when we feel weak. He comes to be that friend to encourage us. Maybe when we feel like, I don't even want to be a Christian. It's so hard. And I feel it's much easier not to be a Christian. I can just do what I like. And the Holy Spirit, no, keep going. And just reminding us of who we are, that we have been forgiven, that we are children of God. And he builds into our lives these beautiful fruit of the Spirit. You know, these love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, you know, faithfulness, self-control. Into our lives. That's why he's come. so that we might be a bit more the same on the inside as we are on the outside. Now, we can never do that by ourselves, no matter how hard we try. And we will always live with fear, no matter how hard we try. But the Holy Spirit is able to come and give us power to make us new, to make us strong in Him. So what we're going to do now, what are we going to do now? Sticky fingers here. This is what we're going to do now. So I need two volunteers. And you can all have a little piece of chocolate. But what I'd like you to do, when you enjoy the chocolate, why don't you have a quiet prayer, praying that you will receive God's Spirit, perhaps in a fresh way, and that God's Spirit will work in your life to give you the strength that you need, the confidence you need, and to build the fruit of the Spirit, to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So as you're enjoying the chocolate, just have that quiet prayer as well. Julie, would you like to take one of them and pass them round? Okay, we're going to put up some words of our prayer that we can say together. After that, we're going to sing two songs. So let's say together, O Holy Spirit, you who came at Pentecost in wind and flame, you brought us truth and peace and love and joy and blessings from above. Now fill each of us, we pray, with your good gifts for each new day. We thank you for your love outpoured to tell the world that you are Lord. Let's pray. The Spirit came and the church was born in wind and fire and words of power. The Spirit came, blowing fear aside, and in its place we hearts were stronger. The Spirit came, as your word foretold, with dreams and signs, visions and wonders. The Spirit came and is here today to feed the hearts of a world that hungers. You came like a strong wind, breathing energy and power into the believers. You came like tongues of fire, consuming doubts and fears, breaking down the barriers of language. Help us to keep the fire of our faith burning, fanning the flames until we dance with the certainty of your presence within us. Send your Spirit again to fill us as we go on our way. Amen.